Well, I've been trying to bring you on a journey into the heart of God for the nations and the beauty of his plan to use those people that are away from home as one of the vehicles that his blessing is going to go to the nations. And I've been talking to you about international student ministry. And we've talked about the importance of hospitality and discipling internationals. And I want to talk to you about the impact of students who go home. Now, sometimes people ask me this question, like, what percentage of international students actually go home? Like, it seems like there's a lot of students maybe who would like to get jobs in the United States and like to stay, and that's actually becoming increasingly difficult. But my answer to that is it's really not so important to me how many students go home. What's really important is how many students are called by God to go home and are obedient to that calling. You know, I've shared this scripture with you about, about the demoniac in Mark 5 who wanted to follow Jesus after being his disciple. You know, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus in the posture of a disciple. Jesus was instructing him. We don't know what the conversation was, but since he was in that role of sitting at the feet of Jesus, Jesus must have been imparting to him the truths of the kingdom of God. And then when Jesus was getting ready to leave, because the people in that community were rejecting him, Jesus turns to this man and says, go home. But I'm glad he just didn't say go home. It wasn't like a rejection. It was go home because I have a commission. I have a mission for you. Go home to your people and tell them the great things that God has done for you and the mercy that you have received. And so this type of commissioning and realization that those that God has a mission for, if they can understand and hear God's voice telling them, go home, and they obey that, it can be a very powerful witness. You know, this man did go home, gave his testimony, and the people were amazed. And later, Jesus had a much more successful ministry in the cities of the Decapolis, the 10 cities, as a result of this man's testimony. It opened up the gospel in those areas. So I want to tell you some stories of students who were obedient to the call of God to go home. This is my friend Yasser. And Yasser came to the United States from the country of Sudan. Now, Sudan recently has been in the news because of an overthrow or a change in government there. But it's an Islamic country. He comes from the north part of the Sudan. And when he became a Christian in the Sudan, again, the risk for him was that the penalty for conversion from Islam to becoming a Christian was either death or imprisonment. And so when he had the opportunity to leave Sudan and he came to study in the United States, it was like, phew, I'm glad to be out from under that pressure and persecution, and I have freedom now in the United States. And I had a chance to meet Yasser, and we began to go through a discipleship process together, and one of the things we do is memorize verses, and one of the verses we memorized together was Luke 9:23, where Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so as we discussed that verse, I said, Yasser, what would that mean for you in your life if you're going to follow Jesus to deny yourself? And he thought about it for a while and he said, well, for me, that would mean going back to the Sudan. And I said, do you think that's what God is saying to you? He said, yes, I think that's what God is saying to me. So we began a process of getting him ready to return to the Sudan. So we had to decide what are the major obstacles for a person to return to a country with high levels of persecution? Well, you have to know how to deal with fear. So I wanted to train him. And we have to be creative sometimes in preparing international students to go home. I said, so Yasser, what are you afraid of? He said, well, I'm not really afraid of dying. I'm willing to die for Jesus, but I am afraid of being tortured because I don't know if I'm strong enough to be tortured for my faith. I said, well, I don't exactly know. We need to study the scriptures and the promises of God and memorize those. And then I discovered that he also had other fears in his life that were not related to going back to Sudan. Like one of his fears was heights. And so I said, okay, well, Yasser, I know this is a strange thing, but do you think maybe if Jesus can help you overcome your fear of heights, that could help you in your other fears? And so we went to an amusement park to go on a high roller coaster. And, you know, he stepped in and stepped out, and we said, let's pray, you know, pray. And he'd step in, he'd step out. And finally he went down that roller coaster screaming, you know, but then it was victory at the end. And then God had his own creative way of preparing Yasser. He went to visit Cuba and ended up in prison in Cuba. And after he got out of prison, I said, well, how did it go? He said, well, I prayed for my jailer and I shared Jesus with the other people in the jail. I said, it seems like you passed. It seems like God is getting you ready. And so he went back to the Sudan. And when he went back, his legs were trembling. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. It is the willingness to act in God's will despite how you feel. And so he went back, his legs shaking. He wasn't sure if he'd be arrested at the border. So when he went into the, you know, border and the guy looked at him, he said, oh, you're coming from the U.S., huh? Looking at his passport, which was expired. And the guy said, He said, I hear it's pretty cold in America, because I visited Sudan. I visited this brother when he went back. It's the average temperature is over 100 degrees, normally 120 degrees, so it's a very warm climate. The guy said, America, it's very cold in America. He said, did you see penguins there? So the guy let him in. And you know, Yasser has persevered in a very dry spiritual place, and he's done amazing things. He's started a school for refugees, and this is some of the school and some of the refugees that are in that school, and they teach the Bible in that school to these refugees, and then he's begun to plant these small house churches. And I just saw him just recently because he came for a visit, and now they have been able to plant 9 house churches in Sudan. And so I just see Yasser as a great example of someone who is willing to be obedient to the call of God in his life to go back. And I just want to share with you stories both from my ministry with international students, but also from history, because the amazing thing is some of the greatest evangelists in all of history around the world were former international students. So let me just show you this one little clip of one of those internationals who came to Christ as a high school international student and went back to Korea. His name is Billy Kim. You might not be familiar with him, but I just want to, this is just a really great small picture of what God can do to someone who listened to the message again about his call to go back.
1950 Korean War started. Not knowing that North Korea will invade South Korea. My city was destroyed 90%. My school was bombed. There was no school for me to attend. I told people many, many times the best thing ever happened during the Korean War, they bombed my school and all my record was burned. I came here in 1951. Everybody spoke English. Nobody spoke Korean. I got so homesick. I wish I never left the home. And one day, young college ministerial student came to my dormitory room. He opened John 3:16, for God so loved the world, beginning to explain the love of Jesus Christ. I asked him, if I accept Christ, would he take away my homesickness? He said, not only take away your homesickness, he give you a purpose in life. He give you joy, he give you happiness. I said, yes, I want to accept Christ as my Savior. Well, make a long story short, I want to study political science, go back to Korea, become a politician. One day God said, well, you have so many politicians in your country, they don't need you, but I need you to go back to tell your family about the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
rescue the world.
하나님의 독생자 세상에 보내셔서 세상 사람들을 건져 주시게 하셨어.
In spite of our rebellion.
우리의 반항을 이유로 삼지 아니하시고.
In spite of our sin.
우리의 죄를 보시지 아니하시고.
God said, I love you.
하나님이 나는 너를 사랑한다.
I love the human race.
나는 인류를 사랑한다.
I want to forgive them of their sin.
나는 그들의 죄를 용서해 주시기를 원한다.
But how could God do it?
하나님이 어떻게 용서해 주실 수 있습니까?
He came to die.
그는 돌아가시러 오셨습니다.
Because on the cross he took your sins, your death, your judgment, your hell.
십자가에서 여러분의 죄와 여러분의 죽음과 여러분의 지옥을 담당하셨습니다.
And he loves you so much that if you had been the only person in the world, he would have died for you.
당신을 그만큼 사랑하셨기 때문에 당신이 이 세상에 혼자 산다 하더라도 십자가에 돌아가셨을 겁니다.
Greater love hath no man than
They said that his translation for Billy Graham was melodic, that it was so back and forth it almost sounded like a song. And many people came to Christ in that crusade. It had a transforming effect in Korea. And Billy Kim is an example of a returned international student. Let me tell you about another returned person, Bok Sing. Bok Sing came to study as an international student in Canada. And he also experienced what Billy Kim mentioned was loneliness. This is a very common thing that you heard Kayode talk about, you know, being away from home, being away from your family. And he was very lonely. And in his loneliness, he heard a man singing in the shower at a YMCA. And he just thought, oh, that man has something I don't have. And so he asked him, sir, why are you so happy? And the man said, why shouldn't I be happy when Jesus Christ died for me and forgave all my sins? Yeah, a good answer, right? And he began to share with Bok Sing the good news. And he gave him his Bible. And Bok Sing went home and read that Bible. And he was convicted and converted. And Bok Sing had been warned, actually, by his family, make sure when you go abroad to study that you don't become a Christian. You know, I found that a lot of students are warned by their families and by their governments. Like Saudi Arabia warns their students, now be very careful about Christians when you go to the United States. But despite that, he could not resist the love of God. And Bok Sing was discipled in a home of a family who took him in, taught him the ways of Jesus, and he returned to India where he met his family, and his father said, son, you know, it's a shame for you to become a Christian, but if you just don't tell anybody about it, you can be part of the family. But if you insist on sharing this with other people, you can no longer be part of our family. And he said, I have to share about Jesus Christ. And so he was kicked out of his family. He began to share the gospel. And he received such a response to his preaching that in his time, he's the greatest Indian evangelist who ever lived. Through his ministry, about 10,000 churches were planted. You can read the story of Bok Sing. It's just a wonderful story. You can read his testimony online, How I Got Joy Unspeakable, and look that up and read his testimony. Another friend of mine from China, his name is Hank, his English name, and he came to the United States to study. He was an atheist. He really had an interest in media and production, and then he became a Christian through our ministry. And you remember I shared the story of Abdul with you, how he wanted to read the Bible in his own language. One of the interesting things in many countries of the world, they have Bible translations. Similarly to what happened in English, that 100 years ago when we had Elizabethan English, and now we have some more contemporary versions of the Bible. For younger people who aren't familiar with the King James, for example, they're able to understand it easier in a modern English version. Well, the same thing is true in China. They had a older version that was translated 100 years ago that younger Chinese find very difficult to understand. It uses Chinese that isn't very familiar to them. So when Hank realized that, he devoted himself to translating the Bible. And so these are some of his books. And he's almost completed translating the entire Bible. It's really an incredible work. He works 10, 12 hours a day doing Bible translation, just pouring himself out. And it's a remarkable work that God is doing through him. This is another student who I had an opportunity to share Christ with who wrote this book called The Song of a Wanderer. And it's an apologetic book for Chinese to share, overcome the objections they have in the area of science and atheism. And God has used this book in China to see thousands, maybe 100,000 people have become Christians after reading this book. Just powerful impacts that God is having in China through returnees. This is my friend from Japan, Toshi. Toshi came to study. I had a chance to meet him. You know, less than 1% of Japan is Christian, and Toshi had never met a Christian in his life, had never even seen a church, not even a church building in his town. And when he came, many Japanese are very hesitant about anything religious. They consider it dangerous. But when he saw that there was going to be, one of the outreaches we had was showing the Jesus film in different languages on Easter so that they could choose from 8 different languages, and one of those languages was Japanese. And he was so curious that there was a film about Jesus in Japanese that he decided to go. And so he saw the Jesus film in Japanese, and he decided he would like to study the Bible. We studied the Bible together. He became a Christian. Now, his background was studying teaching English as a second language, and he was getting his master's degree. His original intent was to go back to Japan, become a teacher, a professor, and make some money. A lot of Japanese want to learn English, but after he became a Christian, he said, I want to go home and share the gospel. So we began preparing him for years, a couple years, and then when he went home, he had this plan involved. He had this sense of calling from God, and what he decided to do was instead of taking a teaching position, he would offer these tutoring lessons in English at a low cost. So people would see this master's degree student from the United States teaching English lessons very cheaply. And they would sign up, and he would meet them instead of like having a big class. He'd meet them one-to-one, and he did that so that he'd have the freedom to share the gospel with them. And then as he shared the gospel with people and they came to Christ, then he would ask them to bring their families, and they would study together, and then he asked him to bring their friends, and he would do the same thing. And until he got like 10 to 15 people together in a little house church, and then he would turn it over and say, okay, because the average size of Japanese churches in that time was just 10 to 15 people. He said, okay, you guys, you can start to fellowship and meet with one another. And then he would go to another part of the city, and he would advertise and do it again. And he was successful in doing that. And he became an amazing church planter. When I met him during the time of this picture, which was a little while ago, he had already planted 70 of these house churches. Just incredible work in Japan. And it's just so powerful to see how God can use students who know their language, know their culture, and are called by God. I just want to share one last story with you. And it's a story of my friend Lily from China. And she's going to talk to you both about her conversion and just, again, the importance it was for her to be discipled and then to get this vision to go back home. And I think you'll see this tie together a lot of what I've been talking to you about. And I've been to China to visit Lily again to see the work that her and her husband are doing. But enjoy this last video.
Dear brothers and sisters in the U.S., I'm Lily. It's very nice to share my testimony with you. It's really my great pleasure. Now, my husband is helping me to take this video. My husband is Barnabas. We have 2 kids. One is 7, the other is 4. And both my husband and I have been working for the Lord for, let me see, 11 years. But 14 years ago, I studied in the graduate school of public health in the Ohio State University. Then in 2002, I got the master's degree and I came back. But 5 months in the U.S., I came to Jesus. This is I have never ever expected. There are lots of people I cannot forget. I love them so much. I even think the United States is my spiritual birthplace. I really love your country and your people. You know what? I can never forget that day when I just arrived at the airport of Columbus, Ohio. I saw a gentleman with two beautiful girls on his side, and they were holding a board with my name on it. I was so surprised. And then the next thing happened, they took me to their home for a whole week. And they took me to be oriented in the university and to their church and to the International Student Fellowship, and took me to go shopping and go to different restaurants. That week was just amazing to me. I had to move my apartment. I moved to a new apartment and to share this apartment with a Chinese girl. You know what, that Chinese girl was so surprised that she was so generous with me. Because on the day I moved, I had every kind of furniture. My host family just helped me move so many furniture in. Oh. So even myself was just so touched. So I told them, I bought an engine. I think I'm very lucky. Maybe I'm the luckiest person in the world. But they told me, no, Ben, we think that God loves you very much. Deep in my heart, I thought to myself, well, a Western God will love me? Is that possible? But that kind of love, this kind of unconditional love I saw from my host family, kind of caused that curiosity about God in me. And in the following months, I started to experience the leading step by step by Lord Jesus. Until 5 months later, when I decided I should follow Jesus, when I told my host family, I was so surprised because they were in tears. They told me, "Hey, you know, even before you arrived in Columbus, we have started praying for you. You know, one day, Lord Jesus will save you." I'm so thankful that I can have such a good host family. And I'm so thankful that HiFi is the organization helping me a lot. It's HiFi who introduced me to this host family. And also it was still HiFi led me to the International Fellowship, and I was even baptized through HiFi. I was even discipled by HiFi. Now when I'm in China, I have been serving the Lord for many years. I still think that there is no other job more glorious than serving the eternal God. And there is no greater joy than leading people to Christ and see them grow in Christ. So I'm so thankful to you guys, and I want to say thank you for giving. Thank you for giving to me, and thank you for giving to the internationals, especially our Chinese students. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Praise the Lord. Well, that's the potential impact that we can have when we work with international students. I hope you see the vision. I hope we can do it together. And I hope you can think about supporting the iSEED program, the discipleship program, so that we can train people like Yasser, who went through it, and people like Lily. And so that's what I just want to leave you with. And I have one more challenge to you tomorrow, but I hope you're really encouraged by what God is doing through international. So thank you.